Hello and welcome to the Wagahumpa. That's what it is now, right? The world's greatest online magazine half-baked podcast. We are also known as the Wagump, the world's greatest online Marwin podcast. We'll get to that. And, what's that I hear? Oh my goodness, that's the sound of our first official emergency podcast. We have urgent things to talk about. And the first and of the highest priority, is lasagna a sandwich? Wait, no. Okay, two steps back. The Star Tribune has hired Bill Simmons to replace Sid Hartman. Wait, no. That's not what it was. Okay. Hello and welcome to whatever this is. Thank you for having us. We got lots of things to talk about. I'm sure we'll figure that out along the way. So how about we take things in order? Why don't we start with reasons we are happy? J-J-A, happy. For whatever reason, whenever I hear that name, I think of J.K. Rowling. I don't know why, but... moving past the turfs, what do we think about J.A. Happ?
Spoiler warning on this podcast.
I like it. In that it makes other moves possible. It isn't maybe the top
Bauer. Yeah, as I was saying, it's not a Trevor Bauer signing.
He was within our grasp for 15 minutes there.
Remember that night when we were in the running for Bauer, and then Ken Rosenthal corrected himself and said, "Oh wait, no, they're not."
No way. That was
one of my favorite corrections I've ever seen. I was like, "Oh, thank you, Ken. Thank you." I could kiss your bow tie.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at J.A. Happ is, first of all, are we actually doing J.A. Happ? Because I'm pretty sure he's always going by J. Happ, as if it's like one word.
Wait, what does the J stand for again? I'm on the case.
Can he be Ja?
James Anthony Happ.
I've always heard him called just J. Happ, not J.A. Happ.
According to MLB.com, his nickname is J.A. Dot. I'm not sure of the...
That's what I'm calling him, J.A. Dot.
Player weekend uniform. He just puts J.A. Dot, you know.
Wait, does he spell that out or the actual dots? Because according to MLB, it's actually written out as dot, J. Dot, A. Dot.
Yeah. Not Justin.
No.
Shane Bieber. Anyway.
I think we've gotten off the path.
All right, so... I mean, my thing with J.A. Happ is, you know, I've talked in these podcasts, I think, before about how I was kind of looking for the Twins to get one solid, real rotation starter and one veteran-y type guy who you could throw in there in spring training to compete for a spot with Randy Dobnik. And my feeling on J.A. Happ is he kind of is in the middle of those two things.
I was going to say, he kind of splits the difference.
He's definitely better. He deserves a major league contract. He's a good enough pitcher for that. He's better than like a Homer Bailey type or like an Anibal Sanchez type, or even if you were going to hope you can get something out of Julio Teheran.
Even better than Anibal Sanchez?
Yeah, definitely better. Ooh. Than that. Yeah, I know our dark history with Anibal Sanchez, but yeah, he's definitely better at this point than Anibal Sanchez. But he is not probably as good as what I was kind of hoping they'd be able to stretch for a significant rotation piece. That being said, he's a good enough rotation piece that I can live with it.
Well, as we've kind of talked over the last little bit, both on the podcast and offline, there really isn't that. It gets thin in a hurry. I've looked over the Fangraphs like free agent listing about 100 times, and after Bauer, who's going to get overpriced, and after that it thins out quick. You go Odorizzi, you go a couple others, but every single pitcher this year has huge question marks.
Here's a quick question too. As you mentioned, the market's a little thin. Are you surprised that he signed a one-year contract? I'm not saying that he's worth more than that, but you think he could leverage a little bit more out of it? I mean,
he is 38 years old.
I understand that. But you think you could at least get 2 years somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you.
Maybe in a normal year, it looks like a lot of people are going 1 year contracts. It doesn't seem like the numbers are that low, really,
right,
compared to what right. I thought they were going to be.
I mean, Garrett Richards got $10 million.
Well, and then you look at Quintana got
eight.
I mean, yeah. And I would figure that Quintana is a better pitcher than Happ at this stage of their career.
I mean, I actually think Happ's recent track record is a little better, but Quintana has farther back than that. That was better, and he's younger, so you hope you can. But Quintana might be just be over the edge of the decline curve already.
Well, and plus, we've mentioned multiple times, the number on the baseball card for his age and what his actual age are, it might not right. match up there.
Right. I mean, he's still probably not as old as Happ, but
it's, no, I would guess that he's not as old as Happ, but
it might be closer than
it might be closer than has. BBRF necessarily says.
Right. It might be another Fausto Carmona going on here.
And this will get into what we're going to talk about later, but again, a lot of 1 year contracts, like a lot of pretty decently sized 1 year contracts, but a lot of, hey, let's re-roll next year.
How much do you think the contract negotiations are playing into that as well? Well, the upcoming contract negotiations, the
CBA.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, yes.
I would think that would actually freak people out a little bit, but yeah,
I think everybody's kind of feeling it out right now, the situation and the upcoming agreement or lack of one.
Yeah, that's going to be, we're all going to have to start picking our favorite KBO team again.
Yeah, I think 2022 we're going to get ready for a nice long year of no baseball in America.
Yep. Yeah. But this year
we're happy.
We're happy. Delighted.
We're happy.
Whoa. We're happy.
I think Happ will be, like you said, I mean, he's maybe not quite as high up on the list as we would hope, but I mean, he had a solid three to begin with, though. I mean, you got Maeda, right. You got Berríos, you got Big Mike. Happ,
Big Mike, yes.
We got Big Mike. As long as Happ gives you 140, 150 solid innings, kind of like a little better than we thought we were going to get from Homer Bailey, maybe.
Yeah.
I would have higher expectations. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
What Homer Bailey gave us was basically nothing.
I think what you would have hoped for Homer Bailey, you can hope for a little more than that. You can hope for more from J-Happ.
Yeah.
So on that point, we're questioning how much, we're comfortable rolling with the Dube going for the fifth starter.
Right.
Well, question one, how comfortable are you? And question two, if not, who do you want to target? Let's not get too much into money.
I noticed Dobnak liked the breaking of the next thing we're going to talk about, mostly because I'm pretty sure that makes him he's going to pitch quite a bit this year.
Randy Dobnak, of all people, is excited about
tonight's news means that he's going to be pitching a lot this year.
Yeah.
And that he's going to have really, really good defense when it actually plays out, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. No, I would expect it at most. I think some people out there still think they're going to trade for a starting pitcher. I personally am not very confident of that anymore. I think Happ is the best free agent or trade starting pitcher they're going to get this offseason. I do think they'll bring somebody in for a spring training battle with Randy. Again, an Anibal type. Maybe Anibal himself again.
Who was it they were just looking at, though? It was made clear that they look at everybody, and that's just due diligence. But
yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, they did supposedly our friend Doogie, who has
Arrieta. I'm sorry, yes,
Arrieta. Yeah. I mean, he'd be okay. Roll the dice too, or even Cole Hamels. I'm not sure Cole Hamels' shoulder has anything left in it, but if it did, they could take a shot at him.
I say Tanaka sounds like he's going back to Japan.
Right. Tanaka doesn't look like, I mean, I don't know how much he's going to cost. I mean, I don't know how much anybody wants to give Big Maple James Paxton, but if you're talking about a reclamation type, I'd take him over some of the other ones for sure.
Honestly, if you're not going to go with the absolute roll the dice, battle it out with Dobnak and spring training, if you're not going to go with one of those, but you're not also not going to trade, then really the only two left are Odorizzi and Paxton.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, there's really nothing.
It sounds like you have a slight sentimental edge with Odorizzi, but I'm sure somebody else is going to put more numbers on the table.
Odorizzi has a pretty big question mark there, but I mean, he's my preference of the two, but I don't think he'll go with either.
I don't see it, no.
I'd be pretty surprised if they went more than 2 years for Odorizzi, and I still think sooner or later someone would give him 3 years.
I'm sure somebody's going to give him 3 years.
I mean, I'm a little surprised it hasn't happened yet, actually.
I think that some of the teams that are in on
Odorizzi on the Bauer wish list also in on Bauer, that's a good point.
That they're out of the Bauer sweepstakes before.
As soon as whatever happens with Bauer happens, Jake will probably sign very quickly after that.
I would guess that Jake and Big Maple will fly off the board pretty quickly thereafter. I mean, like today, you saw
shortstops getting signed. Yeah,
made their move, and then it was like
Freddie Galvis,
and then Simmons, and
then even Tommy Nostella, who isn't a shortstop, was like, "Well, let's just sign a middle infielder because
why not?
Close enough."
real quick side topic. You don't have to name the team, but what kind of contract do you see Bauer getting? Thankfully not from the Twins, but what do you see? He's not going to, do you think he's going to crack 200 million?
No, at this point I don't.
I don't see that either. No. We're not even in terms of years, even dollar amount. What do you think? Just ballpark.
170
maybe. Yeah, I was about to say 170. Exactly.
Boom.
Yeah, 150 to 170, somewhere in there. I don't think he's going to get anywhere near what he's trying to get,
right?
Because again, I mean, the stuff has been there, but he's really only ever put it together for one season, and that season barely even counts. It was against the Central. I mean, like we were talking about.
The two worst divisions in the history of baseball.
Right. I mean, he gets to face the Pirates a billion times. He gets his entire season, the only teams that were actually like had legitimate lineup were what, the Cubs and the Twins.
Did he play the White Sox?
I think he did. So the White Sox too.
I mean the Reds played the White Sox. Did he face the White Sox?
I don't remember.
I know he faced the Brewers a bunch of times.
The Brewers and the Pirates, not to diminish that, but like I think you have to take a lot of the Central, and yeah, that includes Maeda, but you have to take a lot of the Central division pitchers, especially, with a gigantic grain of salt. All their staff just
100%.
Like I would love, I've seen Maeda's stuff, it's good stuff, but I think if we're expecting him to repeat what he did last year, we're setting it up for some pretty serious disappointment.
Yeah. Well, speaking of side topics, what did you guys think of Realmuto getting on 115 million?
How many years was that again?
Five, I believe.
Had to beat Bauer.
Yeah.
By like that much. I mean, he's okay. So the thing is, he's pretty clearly, as far as catchers go, and catchers such a thin position right now. He's such an elite catcher compared to every other catcher in baseball.
You don't have so many of those big name catchers, especially right now.
No, and especially now that Gary Sanchez has turned into a pumpkin, and a whole bunch of the other catchers that looked decent have kind of settled into being middling options. I mean, there's only
Mitch Garver.
Really, I didn't want to go there. There are only really a few truly great catchers in baseball. Not many.
Roberto Perez.
Is he a catcher?
Roberto Perez. You know,
It was a joke.
The weird thing about that is you're right. I mean, Realmuto is so clearly above the rest of the catchers in baseball.
Everybody.
But the flip side is there was basically no one in the market for a catcher this year except for his old team.
Well, and that is the crazy
thing. After the Mets signed James McCann, there was nothing else. There was nowhere else for him to go.
Well, right. There are no catchers, no good catchers, but also no one was looking for a catcher. It's a weird dynamic.
I mean, the Rays were looking for catchers, but they were looking for Mike Zunino-level catchers again.
Oh, right. No one was willing to spend on catchers, which is kind of odd because, again, best catcher in baseball. Very, very clearly the best catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the White Sox hadn't signed Grandal the year before, they might have been in on that.
I would bet they would have jumped in on it, but there you've got the second or third best catcher in baseball. So
right. Yeah, 100%.
Actually, let's tie onto that with side topics. Based on the move so far, how scared are you of the White Sox next year?
I mean, it's gonna be a race. I'm not scared.
Well,
it's gonna be a race.
Scared might not be the word, but you know what I mean.
They'll be good. They're both making the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they.
Well, there's no expanded playoffs. Don't forget.
No, I still think they're both making the playoffs.
They clearly look to me like two of the top five teams in the American League.
Yeah.
And they get to play the Central, and the Central is going to be even worse this year than it was last year.
Right.
Comparatively.
Right.
And the Indians have taken a massive step back.
I'd say the Cleveland team threw in the towel. It would seem so. Yeah.
There was a rumor this morning that they were even looking to trade in Jose Ramirez, although I think that was BS. But
I think that was some fake drama up there.
They did re-sign Cesar Hernandez today, which is strange because didn't they just trade for two middle infielders from the Mets in the Lindor trade?
You can never have few enough outfielders. I don't get it.
I mean, let's run it back with Oscar Mercado.
Meanwhile, you've got the Tigers trying to get I don't know. They're trying to do a memorial to Gardy and like bring his old team back together. They signed Ramos as catcher this evening. So
I didn't see that.
That happened. The Twins.
That happened. thinking about an hour after the most important signing of the night.
Yeah. And then you got the Royals, who are starting to get better. But yeah, Freddie Galvis.
Yeah, the Royals. I mean, the Royals have
they're getting better.
Good pieces. Also,
they have to start a good pieces, but I mean, they're still
Adalberto Mondesi.
Adalberto Mondesi. They can't stop giving that guy at bats, can they?
I mean, what else are they going to do? What else would they do?
I don't know. But no, I think that the White Sox are going to be, it's going to be a fight to the end, I think. And I do think that both teams are going to make it.
All right, well, all right. Let's just make a crazy prediction. Things where they stand right now. Who's taking number one in the Central?
Twins.
Right now, before the couple moves I hope the Twins make soon. What, say again?
If they make
it. They don't have any played in the game.
No. Yeah, right. I mean, if the Twins don't make any other moves.
Just as of this second.
I would pick the White Sox.
I would too.
I think the Twins have it, but well, that's going to depend on a lot of health. I mean,
of course. When Josh Donaldson plays in 60 games, then
and Buxton plays in 50.
I hope he makes it for 50.
I hope he makes it way more than 50.
Gosh, now I want to talk about the East and the West, though. Like, who do you see as the top spots in both of those divisions real quick?
Let's do it real quick
because I just threw out I still think these are two of the top five teams in the league, so let me see if I can define the other three. Actually, it's pretty clear to me right now who my picks are gonna be.
I'll throw them out.
Well, somebody has to win the West, so I think it's gonna be the Astros again. Oakland, Oakland still has good players, but they're bleeding pieces without really, I'm not really sure what the replacements are yet.
Yeah, what's the replacement for Semien?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm sure they have someone, but you know, they'll probably put up a fight. But I actually just think the Astros are going to have a lot of players who are going to bounce back from last year.
Well, right. I don't think the Astros are going to have a losing record this year.
Right. The East, I'm gonna throw the swing out there, and I'm going with Toronto to win the East.
Oh,
let's go, baby. The new 21st century baby Bomba squad is the Toronto Blue Jays.
I think it'll be the Rays. I think the Toronto's still a year off of winning it, but I think they will make the wild card.
Well, you're picking. I was gonna pick Toronto first, Yankees second.
I don't think the Yankees are making it.
Wow.
They're losing Tanaka and Hap. What are they replacing them with?
Kluber and Jameson.
Oh, Kluber. He's going to start all of six games. It'll be
amazing. Yeah, I mean, don't forget about the Yankees effect. Don't forget about the Yankees effect.
Eventually, Severino will be back too.
At some point.
I will say Tampa Bay. I'm not sure about 2 and 3 though. And you know what?
I think Tampa Bay proved last year that they've got a heck of a team. I think that we're going to see them take even a step forward from where they were last year.
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah, interesting. They lost World Series hero Blake Snell.
How are they going to replace those 4 innings? Wait, oh, no.
I mean, they don't have to replace much because they don't pitch him that long. See, Cash, I knew it. Cash has got it all figured out.
I am interested to see how, because you know that San Diego is going to pitch him longer. You just know they're going to pitch him longer. I am
150 innings, baby.
You know what? Since we're on this, and you know we have a break coming up sooner than later before the next topic.
True.
Why don't we move on to the NL? Start in the Central. Well, actually, you know, Central's the hard. Central's the hard one.
Can I pick four teams from the East and pick no one from the Central?
Let's start with the West in that case.
Well, yeah, the West is easy because there's two teams that are way better than everyone.
Well, we know the 1 and 2. We know the 1 and 2.
Well, we know which one is 1 and which one's 2, too. I mean, for all...
What do you think? What do you think?
It's the Dodgers still.
Dodgers. They have Dodgers.
Depth.
I don't know.
They're not going to beat that.
The Padres are adding everybody, though.
The Dodgers, it is a fluke.
They just re-signed Profar to be their water boy.
It is a fluke that the Dodgers haven't won 3 World Series.
I'll give you that. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And they haven't, I mean, they're losing a couple, but they have people to replace them, and they just have such ridiculous depth. And they have people that haven't even come into their own yet. So, I mean, yeah, the Dodgers are still the best team in baseball.
I mean, just imagine when Gavin Lux starts hitting, too.
Right. I mean, you know he's going to. And he hasn't yet, and it's just
when Urias and Gingergaard become legit top of the rotation starters.
Yeah,
I mean Gingergaard hasn't even scratched the surface of his potential. Dustin May. I know I call him Gingergaard because he looks like Noah Syndergaard, but he's red haired. I hope our audience can.
Thank you for explaining that. It did take me a second.
People might get mad at me making esoteric references.
The Padres obviously had the most fun off seasons, and I mean they're gonna be fun to watch. But I don't think they're still a wild card. And isn't that gonna be horrible when they do all this and they go for it and they win 99 games and then they lose the wild card game and they're just out.
They lose the wild card game to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh.
No, they'll lose it. No.
It won't be the Cardinals. No, that's the problem. It'll probably be the Mets. Yeah, okay. So let's talk about the East.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's move on to the East. The Lowell Mets are also doing something similar to the Padres. You know, they're the other people who's adding everyone.
Well, they were talked about as the prime suspects for Bauer just this afternoon. Right,
yeah, that came up this afternoon. Yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt that a bit. I think they've been heavy on the whole offseason.
It fits for some weird reason that I don't quite understand, but I can see that.
Do you count him as the favorite then?
Well, I mean, if they do get Bauer, yeah.
If they do get Bauer, I think you do.
Yeah.
I know they've got such a good rotation at that point, and I mean they've strengthened everything.
Yep. I guess the main team to compare them with would be the Braves then in the division.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the Phillies and Marlins and even the Nationals are all competitive teams. Again, I like actually all three of them more than at least 3 or 4 of the teams in the Central. But I think the Braves and the Mets are probably the ones fighting it out for the top spots.
The Marlins, then how do they fit in? Just not going to breach not those yet. Two.
They're starting to get better if they don't ransack. I mean, they've got a good core. Phillies. Yeah. I mean, the Phillies will be better, I think, than people think. Think that if they even remotely fix up the bullpen, which was literally the worst bullpen in history last year, they got nowhere to go but up.
So Washington's not climbing out of the basement?
No, probably.
I mean, if Scherzer and Strasburg come back healthy and Patrick Corbin gets back to normal, they'll be
a lot more competitive. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, yeah. There's actually five at least decent teams there, and two and a couple that are could be a lot more than decent, but it's going to be a fun division to watch games from because they're all decent teams.
And moving on from probably the most fun division in baseball to easily the least fun division in baseball.
Easily.
Easily. Every single team in that division has just been throwing things away hand over fist.
Cutting payroll like it was.
Oh, man. It's like they all realized that one of them has to make it, so.
So why would we bother spending any money?
Because you can try.
Somebody's going to make the playoffs here anyway. Thanks, Manfred.
Some team with like 82 wins is winning that division.
It's going to be the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes.
Well, that also assumes we're going to make 162 games.
Right, for sure.
Right, true. Yeah. So I will say with somebody with a game over a 500 winning percentage is going to win that division.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. And welcome back from that non-existent message from our non-existent sponsors. After this impromptu tour through the MLB on the WGOM HBP, let us move on to more pressing news. The signing of Andre Simmons. Yeah, lukewarm, right, you guys? That's a joke.
It's a good thing. I'm happy with this. This makes the offense or the defense way better.
Makes the offense way better.
I don't know if it actually does that.
It doesn't. But that's fine.
But
another 1 year contract, like you're saying.
Makes the team better. Move Polanco off of what is not necessarily his best position to a position where I don't know how he'll do with it, but I mean
his best position.
It could be. But the bump up in defense from Jorge Polanco to Andrelton Simmons is enormous.
It's quite large.
Enormous.
It's real and it's spectacular.
It is. Like I said, there are two reasons that Dobnak was happy about that signing.
What's the first and one?
First reason is they spent a lot of money on Andrelton Simmons that they're not going to be able to spend on another starter.
Oh, that's the other reason. Yeah. Right. Dominic's like, hey, this means I'm definitely in the rotation. And
pretty much.
It means there's a guy who's going to hoover up all my ground balls.
Pretty much. There is literally no one in the world happier about this signing than Randy Dobnak.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Real quick, before we go deeper on Simmons, between him and Didi, who would you prefer?
Peter. I mean,
Simmons. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. My personal ranking of the big three who are kind of a medium three compared to the massive like five or six who are scheduled to be free agents next offseason. But next offseason, you got guys like Lindor, Correa, Trevor Story. Who else am I missing? Somebody else good is a free agent.
I mean, you next just off-season. Named well, realistically the three best shortstops in MLB. So
there were three big free agent shortstops this year. Mm-hmm. Marcus Semien, mm-hmm. Andrelton Simmons, and Didi Gregorius. That's my order for how I rank them in terms of.
I was going to say, my guess is you'd be on Semien the most.
Correct.
Yeah.
However, not at $18.5 million, most likely.
For 1 year? No, that was crazy.
For 1 year, right, which is what he got today from the Toronto Blue Jays.
When I saw that he made that, I mean, usually I don't get into the money side of things so much because I don't know as much about it and because it's all just numbers to me.
I believe this podcast has a strong history of you guys being like, not my money.
That's
basically
absolutely yeah.
But the thing about 18 million is it would have constrained any other potential things, which the fact that they went with Simmons for 10 instead of Semien for 18 makes me think that this might not be the last move they make.
They have another move coming. I'm pretty confident they have
I feel on it at this point.
It might be of the same level, but there's one more thing. But okay, so with Simmons, what do you want to see Polanco's role as?
It seems as though they're planning on using him as a second baseman. I don't know that he would have made a good utility guy.
There's the question. You turn him into something or try to turn him into something.
I wonder about when you say you don't think he would make a good utility guy, what do you mean? Like, what about... What about the, what is the utility role defined as that you don't think Polanco?
Well, I guess I don't, I mean, realistically, he's just going to play second base anyway. His arm for third is not even remotely close to good enough, in my opinion.
My thing would be if by utility you or the Twins mean also can do the old Marwin act out in left and right field once in a while, then right. Yeah, Marwin is still out there, guys. but do I want to see Polanco in the outfield? Probably not.
Well, I don't want to see Arise in the outfield either.
But I don't want to see Arise in the outfield either. And this is my other point. If Arise is the utility guy, do I want to see Arise ever play shortstop? No.
Yeah, I don't know how they'll play that because, I mean, are they going to stick Polanco to the role of 100% second base all the time?
Right, and that's my question.
If
Polanco is the second baseman, does that mean we, on a day when Andrelton Simmons gets a day off, or do we have Polanco playing second and Arise playing shortstop? Because
that doesn't make any damn sense.
Ridiculous to me.
This is a family podcast, Nibbish.
You can edit it with a car horn or something.
Auga.
Auga.
Anyway, so I think I think it makes sense to have Arise be the primary Donaldson insurance guy.
Yes. And plus you want Arise's bat in the lineup as often as possible, especially against right-handed hitters, pitchers, which is most of them, because he has the bat to bat 350 in a season. He does. And you don't want to set that on the bench all that often.
So how do you get that into the lineup?
I don't know. Again, we're getting to the point where it all depends on how flexible they're willing to make the second base position in general and whether or not they're willing to have Polanco. Sure, you're the main second baseman, but you're also the shortstop on the off days. Sure, Arise is going to be the utility guy, but that is with the understanding that he's going to be still playing 5 games a week in the infield.
Yeah, well, and they might do the thing where, I mean, it just popped in my head that, like, you do need someone playing backup first base too. And right now, that, you know who that looks like to me actually right now is, looks like Arise playing left field while Kirilov plays first base.
Kirilov.
Some people have also talked about Polanco filling some DH spots as well. Now that it seems like the NL is not going to pick up the DH, how much does Cruz's return sound plausible?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that's one of the two remaining moves that they have.
Yeah, I think they're going to sign someone else to take the bulk of DH at bats.
Yeah, it will. If I had to guess, Cruz would be the leading candidate at this point, and that's fine with me. I've seen Nick Nelson put Kirilov as your starting left fielder and Rooker as your starting DH. I think that's crazy for a team that wants to potentially succeed deep into the postseason. Because if either of those guys plays like a rookie, you're just straight up screwed.
Yeah, you're really hamstringing yourself if plan A is to go with two rookies at the bulk of the time at both of those spots. I think Rooker fits. I mean, I think Rooker and Kirilov fit in a mix where one of them is your prime candidate for one spot, and then the other one is a prime bench candidate, bat, fill in, rotate type guy, you know. But I don't think I don't think you can go into the season either with both of those guys penciled in as frontline starters. Again, that doesn't mean they re-sign Cruz, but I do think they signed someone else probably someone else who has the capability either to be a capable. I mean, I'm not sure who else is out there besides Ozuna, but I don't think they're going to sign Ozuna.
I was going to ask, if not Cruz, then who?
I personally don't think Ozuna is very likely because I don't think they want to make the kind of length commitment to a guy like Ozuna that he's probably going to command.
The thing about Cruz is you've got three guys who are either left fielders or DHs coming due real quick here. You don't want the DH spot tied up for 4 years.
Well, not only that, but you've also got right now you've got two guys, one of whom who is signed, I believe, for 3 more seasons, and one of whom is signed for 2 more seasons.
Oh, yeah.
And two guys in your infield who are probably going to need to get more and more DH bats
right
within a couple of years. Miguel Sano and Josh Donaldson.
Well, and all that is to say that, you know, you don't have the first base outlet to say, oh, hey, Kirilloff, you're first baseman now. Okay, well, then what's to know?
Yeah.
So you can't tie up all these all-bat, no-glove positions for 4 years like what Ozuna is going to have you do.
Right. That's why Cruz still probably makes the most sense if you sign one guy just for that position, right? Because you're not going to give him more than 2 years at the most.
2 years at the most, yeah. And that actually works to your advantage in this
game. It seems like Cruz definitely wants 2 years from somebody, because if he was willing to take less, he probably would have re-signed with the Twins by now.
Right.
That's my sense, is that he definitely wants a guaranteed second year from somebody, and no one has been willing to give it to him yet.
And now that half his options seem likely gone.
It seems less likely than before. That I don't know if – I'm still not sure if it's for sure, but it does seem like it's a lot less likely for this year.
At least for this season, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that I do think there are ways. I'm not sure who else is out there. I mean, I've thought about, like – I think I've said to Nibbish before – like a sneaky, interesting move would be like a Jackie Bradley Jr. Signing. I think there are other ways to sign another guy who's not just a primary DH, but that allows you to increase your defensive flexibility, kind of like signing Simmons theoretically allows you to increase your flexibility with Polanco and Arise. There are other guys out there you could sign and then you just do kind of the kind of thing that I expect them to do sooner or later anyway, which is the DH spot is just going to be a rotational spot for whoever's getting the day off of the field.
So many places do now anyway. I mean, Cruz is basically what? It's Cruz and Ozuna are like the last DHs pretty much.
I was going to say, MLB's got Sincho Cho. Encarnacion is still out there.
I suppose
Cespedes. Cespedes.
Yeah, none of those guys are... None of those guys are someone who I want to sign.
None of those guys are guys that you're going to make plans around, though. Like, you're not going to give up at-bats for your other guys for.
Yes.
No, I think that Cruz will end up back with the team. It just makes more sense for all sides than anything else.
I'm sorry,
I like that idea.
Do you see anyone giving him 2 years?
I see the Twins giving him 2 years, but less money.
I actually think that's, I think that's the most likely scenario too, is that eventually the Twins will give him a second year for less
money. They're not going to scalp him or anything, but like the Twins clearly like him. He clearly likes the Twins. There is a need there for both sides. And like I said, I mean, a lot of teams are going away from a full-time DH. So there's, even though it would seem like you got 15 teams who would be in the mix for him, I would say there's closer to maybe three that would actually care, want to devote the DH spot to him. So I think it'll end up working out.
Yeah.
I'm more interested to see how this whole utility thing works, and if they then, you know, next season Simmons is gone, what do they parlay into it then? I mean, it gets...
Well, that's the interesting thing about, as you said, Hungry Joe, before, about the lots of one-year contracts going on. Not only for the baseball context in the sense of, you know, you've got the CBA probably hammer coming down, and you've got the massive explosion of top line shortstops coming up for new contracts next offseason. But for the Twins context, it seems like the idea is not to get locked into more than a one-year deal a multi-year deal for a shortstop because of a little guy named Royce L. I'm sorry, that's too obvious. R. Lewis. Let's go with that.
That was basically my thought exactly, is that, I mean, he's coming up. He's still their main guy. They're gonna have a place for him. They don't even know where that place is yet.
It seems plenty likely to me that he gets a chance this year at some point. Again, you know, as I think I sort of saw a comment on the website, all of the infield, I mean, everyone in baseball has injury concerns, in my opinion, but certainly every infielder that the Twins have has a recent track record of injury issues, including all five of them and Sano, Arise, Polanco, Donaldson, obviously all have recent injury concerns,
and so there might be lingering one.
So there certainly might be time this summer when
Royce can get a cup
of coffee.
I think we're going to see Nick Gordon for almost sure at some point.
Does Nick Gordon actually exist?
Is he still alive?
Is he really,
has anyone checked on him lately?
Is he really a person that is in existence?
It would have been nice to have seen him yet last year, just to know even a little bit what you had going for this year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had the Rona, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he had a bunch of complications, and that was his year. That was his year that he did.
Well, plus you could have gotten maybe a little less Marwin if Nick Gordon had been available.
If only.
That brings me to one other question. Let's just assume, for the sake of argument, the Twins signed Cruz to 1-2 years, what have you. Is that it then, or do you still expect one more move after that?
The more I think about it, I think there's one significant move left. I think they bring in a Tyler Clipper type, not necessarily Tyler Clipper himself, but a Tyler Clipper type for the bullpen. I don't consider that a super significant move either way. Well,
maybe one or two I don't want to say non-consequential, but smallish bullpen moves. You can besides that.
Though. No, I mean, besides one more Cruz type move, I doubt it. I don't think there's anything else really significant.
Do you see? Okay, I don't want to get into trade speculation because that's just too.
I mean, we could try to figure out trade speculation.
A lot of the big names that were being tossed around earlier this winter are already gone, with Musgrove and those guys being dealt already. So I mean, you're looking at what, John Gray,
Herman Marquez, same location,
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, sure, I it'd be more interesting to talk about that probably when it happens,
right?
If it happens, do I think it could happen? Yeah, I mean, I think it could happen. I don't. If you asked me to bet on it, I would bet against it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't see it coming. I don't see it coming.
But if it does happen, I can't wait for us to get together and talk about it again.
Right.
But 50-50 ask, I would say I'd come down on the side of not likely to happen.
Yeah, I'm about the same way.
I do think they'll bring in a veteran Hannibal type pitcher for the last spot to compete.
I think they'll bring in.
I could see a few spring training invites for a random starting pitcher or two.
There'll be spring training invites for people that we've heard of.
I don't know that any
of those will be consequential. But
yeah.
I expect that, like you say, there'll be one or two guys in the bullpen that we've heard of, probably not necessarily Liam Hendricks level or anything.
It's not going to be Liam Hendricks level, obviously. I would also bet against a guy like Alex Colome at this point, although he would probably.
Oh, I wouldn't guess that. That's not really their style at this point.
No, it's not.
Their style is to grab.
Joaquin Soria, I don't think, is likely either.
Soria is closer to possible, just because you're likely to be able to pick him up for next to nothing.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure if he's going to get next to nothing. He's probably not going to get as much as Colome, you would think.
That's what I mean, though. We're not talking like minor league deal or anything. But
Soria hasn't been a proven closer in a few years.
Right. I'm not talking like he's going to get a minor league deal, but I think he's going to just get
He could probably get more than Clipper.
Clipper deal. A little bit.
He can probably get more than Clipper.
More than a Clipper deal, but not much more.
Right. Yeah, so they could do something on that level, or on a Clipper level, or on a Sam Dyson level.
Honestly, if they do, I mean, they will toss a couple arms in the bullpen, but I'm not expecting much more than a Clipper level.
Yeah.
Soria would be the absolute upper limit, I would guess. They're not going Colome.
Yeah, that's the high level of what they would add, I would think.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think that Cruz is the last signing of the big one. Where else are they going to, what else are they going to do they've already got, what is it, the $50 million infield, all three outfield spots essentially taken up. And again, if it's not Odorizzi or Paxton, the starting pitching isn't really going to be of consequence either.
Odorizzi is the only other, quote-unquote, impact signing I could see.
I mean, realistically, after Cruz inevitably comes back.
We're really setting ourselves up here.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm trying to at least think of alternate scenarios
know what other scenario it would be, though. I mean,
there are other guys out there still, I think. I mean, outfield type guys, right? I mean, just bring Eddie back.
I have a Giants on him.
Come crawling back to Eddie.
I have not broken to Noobish that Eddie is not a Twin anymore. And he's going to be like seriously upset about this.
Well, I mean, you can hedge your bets for a month or two at least.
Right. But no, the only other signing that would even be an impact signing would be an Odorizzi. And I don't think
I don't see it, and that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, that's less likely than Cruz, for sure.
All right, and so that leaves us with the last, sadly inevitable move. Now that Adrianza's off the market, by the way, Marwin, he's coming home, right? Right? No? Yes? No?
My entire being is devoted to rooting against Marwin Gonzalez returning home to the Minnesota Twins.
Like you said,
I want this less than I want anything.
We need that utility guy, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're just saying we don't trust Polanco or Arraez to be a good utility guy, right? If you know what would help that situation, if we get another utility guy.
What would really help that position is to get a guy who can only play third kind of okay, can play first pretty poorly, and can't hit the broadside of a barn without being told, without actually someone hitting the broadside of a barn.
Or a trash can.
Yeah.
No, I actually do think now that they went through with signing a shortstop, I think Marwin coming back actually is a lot less likely. I mean, I might be wrong, and he signs up again tomorrow, and that sounds stupid.
God, I hope not. I really hope not.
The way they've been talking about the media push tonight has been all about Arraez becoming super utility, and I don't think they're gonna now re-sign Marwin also in that context.
Well, no, especially because that's going to eat into Arraez's at bats even more,
and
which is exactly what they don't want to do,
what they shouldn't want to do.
Yeah. And DK's favorite, Astudillo.
Yeah, unfortunately they still have control of him for like 5 more years, right? We're never gonna get rid of him.
No. He's gonna make his 50 at bats for a year for the rest of his career.
Slow and steady wins the race, man.
Just wait until he'll be playing third base for 70 games when Josh Donaldson is hurt.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
This is the darkest timeline that you just brought up to.
You're scared silent, yeah.
I still love and always will love Astudillo. I am sorry.
I love him when he's not playing baseball.
I'm somewhere in between those two extremes.
I think we wrapped up as much as we can talk about the Twins at this point in the season compared to the last time we did. That was a bad transition.
Since we're going to edit that anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, don't worry.
Okay, that was awful.
Okay.
And we're back.
The lips, the teeth, the tongue. She sells, she shells by the seashore.
Oh, you f***ed that up bad, man.
I did, yeah.
All right, I think we've spoken as much as we can at this point in the off season. I'm sure once the blockbuster signing of Marwin Gonzalez is complete, we can have another emergency podcast. But for now, we will move on. We were having a quick discussion of which video we all wanted to highlight tonight. And it actually ended up being a three-way tie between the lovely cover of Robert Fripp and Taya Wilcox. Sorry. Wrong cover. My fault.
My eyes. The goggles do nothing.
They need the bleach.
The lovely cover, as I was saying, of Julian Baker playing Soundgarden's Fell on Black Days. She's got a new album coming out. And as I mentioned at the time, we will definitely be highlighting that.
We're going to play the crap out of that.
It's going to be on like the national, you know, war on drugs levels.
Phoebe Bridgers in 2020 level. Yeah. Yeah.
We will be getting to that. And I wanted to highlight one of those, but I took a look at this. You know, I love that album from Soundgarden. It was a formative one for a young Joe, and I love that song compared to others on that album, which we won't get into this time, and it was a great unique take on it. And yeah, Julian Baker, Fell on Black Days.
What's a river I fear has come to life, and so river I fought off became my life. Just when every day seemed to greet me with a smile, and sparks are fading. Now I'm doing time. Now I'm doing time.
I guess I got a ride for the day I tried to live right now, but
I mean that is higher on my power ranking level. If we want to get into a super unknown power ranking level, we do have some time, but
we should do that. We'll
get back to that. All right, we might now. Keep going.
I don't have much to add other than I'm super stoked for that new Julian Baker album, and that cover is amazing, and it's a very fitting choice by her to play that song, and it's one of those covers that just clicks perfectly, and she's great, and I can't wait for her new album because we're gonna play the crap out of it, and everybody should go listen to it and or acquire it legally by paying her money for it or just stream it, because artists need our money.
And if you get it digitally, wait for a Bandcamp Friday.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't have much to add other than I'm really pumped for the new Julian Baker album. Hardline is an amazing song. Faith Healer is an amazing song. And this cover is awesome.
Okay, we're going to do a quick two-part question. Fell on Black Days, good song. Is it the best song she could have covered off of Super Unknown? Dan, you threw in Day I Tried to Live. That's a great choice.
And I want to hear everybody play the Day I Tried to Live, but you know, not everybody could do it. But could Julian do it? Probably.
I could see it.
Any other nibbish, any picks?
I honestly, Fell on Black Days is my pick for it, for that album for her. So I think she picked the right one, and I think she knocked it out of the park.
Lake Suicide does feel a little bit too.
I bet she'd do great at that, but that feels really on the nose. Yeah.
That a little too one, much. A little too
yeah,
much.
Yeah, no.
Kickstand.
Yeah.
No, that was a joke, but Spoon Man.
Shit, you know what? That is my number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to hear it. Actually, you know, Head Down would be good by her.
Head Down would be pretty good by her, yeah. Yeah. Or Limo Wreck. I'd take that too.
I think we're agreeing that anything.
Boy.
Yeah. Any of them would be fine.
I love that album so much, actually. Wow. Just remembering how much I love Super Unknown. And
it is a great album.
As we're trailing off here, guys, it's after midnight. We're sorry. We're sorry.
It is.
It's been a good night. Twins made a big signing.
Big.
The right made a big signing. The right signing. You can make a big signing, but this one feels like a good right signing.
The Orioles got their shortstop of the future today, Freddie Galvis.
Congrats to them. Go them.
Gonna be a good summer in Baltimore.
In 2029.
They could use a good summer. We all could use a good summer. Best wishes to everybody through the rest of this winter going forward. We'll be back with you soon.
The Marley Podcast.
We love you from the bottom of our hearts, the world's greatest online Marwin podcast. We'll see you next time. Playing us out, Trevor Bauer.
Oh, you're an angel, whoa, and I love you so. Across time and space, I will never feel alone. Oh, you're an angel, whoa, and I love you so. Across time and space, I will never feel alone.
A girl filled with love flew across time and space. Never a place where we shared, my life turned to grace. Home base, was in your arms, was never an arms race. No battle of words, enthralled to see your face. Staring deep into your soul, my life fell into place. No storage space, filled with junk, left for waste. I was your ace. We debate in our deep place, living life laced with devotion just in case.
Oh, you're an angel, whoa. And I love you so. Across time and space, I will never feel alone. Oh.
Cha-ching!